Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, new stats from the Irish College of GPs shows that while the country's population has risen by over 3% from 2022 to 23, the number of GPs nationally only went up by 0.6%. And it comes as the HSE recently set up a task force to deal with GP strategies. So what does it look like in reality on the ground? How accessible are GPs to the average patient? Well, just before I came on air, I spoke to Steve McMahon from the Irish Patients Association, and I began by asking him for his reaction to the statistics.
Well, clearly, it's been flagged for many years now that the shortage in GPs was going to start having a big effect on the population as a whole because of, you know, an aging population, you know, just generally in the population. But also you have a lot of GPs that are due to retire in spots around the country. That's going to create shortfalls. And this is a major concern from the point of view of patient safety, but equally for the individual patients who may find themselves that their GP is planning to shut down the practice in the next 6 months or the next year. And they're anxiously waiting to see if there's a replacement. And in some parts of the country, that can be a problem.
Are you hearing that it's difficult for people to get access to a GP? You get a new GP if they move to a locality, for example.
That is the problem. You know, like it's people that you have situations where people are moving, certainly. And then you have people who are maybe just after getting a medical card, you know, where they may have had been a private patient before, and they're trying to get a GP to take them on. Now, I think that what I would say to people is that don't despair, because there is a process in the PCRS, which is the agency in the Department of the HSE that looks after that. And if you have been to three GPs to try and get on their list and you've been refused, the PCR office will then try and identify a GP to put you onto a list, at least on a temporary basis, so that you're not dangerously exposed to not having access to a healthcare professional. And if I might just give out the number, because it might be of interest to some of your listeners there that find themselves in that situation, it's 01-864-7100. And, you know, explain their situation, that they haven't been able to get a GP. And I think, as I say, if they produce evidence for that, it will assist the authorities to try and get them help.
Might be helpful, all right. Do you find that there are hotspots, Steve, in terms of a lack of GPs? Is it better or worse in rural or urban areas, for example?
I think it's becoming a bigger problem in the rural areas, you know, and, you know, where maybe single practices or small practices are planning to close down, or indeed they're trying to find a replacement, and the opportunity there isn't attractive enough for somebody to go into that area where they can get a practice in leafier areas in the larger Dublin area or higher population areas and satisfy their, you know, their needs there. But I just think it's very important. You know, there are some mitigating factors that are on the horizon. You know, like we do see, you know, the whole area of leveraging technology. You know, we need a universal patient record. That is absolutely needed. So if you do have mobility, your record travels with you. You don't have to go through your whole life story again.
There's also the improvement, the government would say, I'm sure, of allowing pharmacies to be able to treat certain ailments and prescribe themselves certain common ailments. Is that a help?
Oh, it will be. But I mean, this is long overdue. But what I'm hearing on the ground, and this, you know, there's no science behind this walk around, but that, you know, pharmacists themselves are a little bit confused as to, you know, when all of this is going to happen. From September, there are supposed to be extensions for certain prescriptions that they can extend it for up to a year. In the earlier, in 2025, it's planned that they will be able to prescribe, you know, certain antibiotics for fairly common situations, which will alleviate the pressure in the doctor's surgery.
Okay,
but the key thing here is to not despair. Try that number if you're having difficulties to get your GP.
Okay, Steve McMahon from the Irish Patients Association. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Cormac.
We're also joined on the line by Dr. Gary Stack, who's Medical Director of South Dock, who works with 520 GPs in Cork. And Kerry, we'll hear from Senator Malcolm Byrne of Fianna Fáil in just a second as well. Dr. Gary Stack, you're very welcome. What do you make of this? Are there simply too few GPs in the country?
Put in place to increase the number of GPs in the country, and the ICGP have been active in this from the point of view of increasing training places for trainee GPs and for non-EU doctors, a kind of a two-year apprenticeship for non-EU doctors. And we've certainly noticed, I suppose, in particularly in the larger areas, that the numbers have stabilised and have slightly increased over in, say, in the last 6 or 8 months.
Are you saying so it's less of a problem in urban areas?
It is less a problem in large urban areas, certainly.
So, okay, where are the pinch points as far as you're concerned then in Cork and
pinch
Kerry?
Pinch points, I suppose, in Cork and Kerry, the issue is that nationally measures have been taken to improve the situation. But I would put it that a rising tide doesn't necessarily lift all boats, and it a rising tide may swamp smaller boats. And we have issues, certainly, in the Iveragh Peninsula. Waterville Carsevine would be the prime example, where there's a population of 8,000 plus a recent influx of 1,000 Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. 2,000 of that population are over 65, yet the number of GPs has gone from 6 GPs down to 3. And one of those 3 is due to retire, hasn't been able to retire because hasn't been able to get a replacement.
Oh, so it could be a town of 8 or 9,000 with 2 GPs soon. So what will those people do?
That's a very good question. And the area Waterville and Carsevine between them and out into Valentia and Port Magee have a population of 8,000, as I said, plus 1,000 non-nationals. Mm-hmm. An elderly population on top of that with huge demands on the GP services that there just aren't enough GPs to supply.
And it's an area I know very well. And Valentia, there's a huge influx to Knightstown and Chapeltown of tourists who stay the whole summer long, many of them as well. And sometimes they even need a GP. So seasonally, it changes as well. I just wonder if it's similar in other parts of the country. And people are texting us, Dr. Gary Sack, when they hear this. Living in County Tipperary, GP in County Waterford, where we used to live, used to work, says this listener, 90 minutes drive there and back, can't get a local GP, and I've phoned them all, and I've been quite poorly this last year. People, Gary, are going to some lengths to get a GP.
They are very much so. But as I said, I think the rural practices are disproportionately affected, and the smaller practices disproportionately affected. I think specific structures need to be put in place to support it. If anybody's coming in from the outside, they will not be attracted to a rural area where there's much more risk and much more cost in setting up a practice and running a practice. Mm-hmm. And it's safer for them to look at a larger urban area with more supports, with more colleagues.
Stay with me, Dr. Gary Stack. Dr. Malcolm, or Senator, you wish you were a doctor, Malcolm Byrne. Senator Malcolm Byrne of Fianna Fáil is with me as well. You're very welcome. What do people do? What should they do, in your opinion, if they can't get access to a GP?
So, Cormac, I can relate to it. In North Wexford, where I'm based, where we've seen in the inter-census periods 2016 to 2022 a 14% growth in population. And one of the biggest issues for people who are moving into the area, and North Wexford is obviously a very popular area, it's a great area to live, but there are shortages of GPs within our region. What's being done? Well, I suppose one is we need to talk about how, you know, being a GP, it's particularly attractive to become a GP now. It's a lot more attractive than it was in the past. As Dr. Stack said, we do need to put the supports in place for those who graduate and become GPs. But I think to put it in perspective, you know, what is the government doing? The number of doctors entering GP training back in 2009 was 120 per year. That grew to 286 by 2023. And this year, there are 350 new entrant training places for GPs. And I suppose the good news...
Do you accept that still is inadequate, given the amount of attrition in the sector, the amount of GPs who are leaving, the amount of those graduates who will leave as well? They're in training. So for a town that Dr. Gary Stack has described, a town of 9,000 with potentially two doctors, two GPs, what will those people do? What should they do?
Well, just to say, Cormac, that the figures are that 94% of GP graduates actually stay or work in Ireland.
For how long?
And by the way, a lot of them, they do over the five-year period. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with somebody going away for a year and coming back. That's positive as part of the training. But certainly what Gary was talking about, particularly in rural areas with those single practices, there is a support fund in place for GPs in areas of urban deprivation, but also in rural practices. And yes, government has got to get that right. I mean, I know in communities that I live in, particularly where you have, that single GP where he or she is operating on their own, they're trying to get locums. It's very difficult.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, when you say the 94-96% stay, I just wonder and I ask, how long do they stay? Because young graduates now are mobile. And GPs have told me that the amount of documentation they have to fill in forms after seeing patients has gone up significantly. They can't get a locum to go on holidays, as you say. And it's not all rosy in the garden. So for an awful lot of people, the experience of being a GP in Ireland is vastly different to other countries or jurisdictions where they can be a GP.
Well, I'm not a GP, so I can't speak for them other than I think it is fair to say, you know, it is an attractive career. There are a lot more supports in place in terms of what the government has done. There's been increased investment in GP practice through the GMS scheme. So even to give you an example, in 2023, the state paid GPs over 807 million in all payments. That compared to 560 million in 2019. So there is a realisation that's there. There's certainly a realization, and this is something where we need skilled immigrants into the country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those places are going to be filled by non-EU GPs. And the point that I'm making, though, is that, you know, it is an attractive career. We've got to continue to make it such. But the fact that we've seen such a dramatic upsurge in the number of places on the GP training scheme is critical. I think.
Okay, so let me go back to Dr. Gary Sack on that. I promise I will come back to you, Malcolm Byrne. And maybe it's unfair to put those questions, my anecdotal experience based on what some GPs have told me, Dr. Gary Sack, is that reflective of the sector in general, the increased pressure, the increased paperwork, the increased patient workload? Is it forcing some GPs to look at their life again?
Certainly, there's a huge increase in the bureaucracy, but I would agree, Malcolm, in general practice, quite a high percentage of trained GPs stay in the country. There's a huge retention, quite a high retention rate of GPs. It is more hospital doctors in training that would be leaving the country than GPs in training.
Okay.
And so there is retention, but I still come back to the rural areas. Someone going in to start a practice in a rural area will have the costs of setting up premises, cost of maybe building a premises, or the cost of fitting out a premises. Mm-hmm. They then have staff costs, admin costs. So that particular area needs to be looked at separately, because I think that, as I said, the rising tide is there at the moment, and I think over the coming 3 or 4 years things will be improving, but it has unintentional negative effects on smaller practices, I believe.
Well, we got a statement from the Department of Health. They say the government recognises that there are workforce challenges facing general practice. It's acknowledged that while in many parts of the country, timely access to GPs remains available, there are some areas where access is not at the same level. In rural areas, as you say, Gary, in particular, they say in the statement, due to the lower and more sparse population, there is greater dependence on small and single-handed practices, and they say when a vacancy arises, the HSE becomes actively involved in the recruitment process to find a replacement GP, and they've provided significant additional resources to general practice in recent years to meet challenges. But I just wonder if it's enough, Senator.
They've raised the tide, mm-hmm. and that has helped with most of the boats, but not with the smaller ones. It's still in the rural area. The disadvantage, the disincentive to go in and start out a practice. Yes, there is a living there, quite definitely so, but to get started is the issue. And I think the HSE need to look at the structures they need to put in place to get to attract someone to the area. I think once someone gets their feet under the table, they will quite happily run a practice, mm-hmm. there and be quite successful there. But the initial getting in there is the problem.
Okay. Is that something that's going to be looked at in the budget, Malcolm Byrne?
No, I agree, and I've certainly raised this with Minister Donnelly. As I said, we can see it in North Wexford just as he can see it in Cork and Kerry. It is an attractive career. There is a problem for, you know, those who want to start up their GP practices to operate on their own. We currently have about 65 GPs for every 100,000 of population. We want to try to get that up to about 90. So the training programs and so on are in place. But I certainly agree with Gary. We need to look at specifically for those smaller GP practices, mm-hmm. help with setting that up. And then obviously in areas of rapid population growth, such as where I live in North Wexford, mm-hmm. Again, we need to have the support to ensure GPs will come to base themselves in those areas.
Okay, Malcolm Byrne of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed. And Dr. Gary Stack, Medical Director of South Dock, thank you very much as well. And that listener who sent us that text, travelling from Waterford to from Tip to Waterford, a round trip of 90 minutes to go to the GP. I wonder, can anyone in the country beat that? You can let me know at 51551.